Welcome back, everyone. My name is Valeria Napoli, and today we are going to talk about the European Sustainability Competence Framework, or GreenComp. In this series, let's learn together. The goal of the series is precisely to learn more about the four competence areas of the GreenComp and how to use and adapt it according to our learning and or teaching environments. Today, it's my pleasure to welcome you, Ulrike Pisiotis, who join us to address the competence area of envisioning sustainable futures. Ulrike is a policy officer at the European Commission, and she is one of the authors of the GreenComp framework. First of all, Ulrike, welcome.
Oh, good afternoon. Nice to see so many people here.
And the first question I have for you, Ulrike, is if you can explain what envisioning sustainable futures, so this competence area, entails, and why it was so important to include this competence area in the GreenComp.
Thank you, Valeria. Before I start, just this morning, right on time, I got a sore throat. But I really hope my voice will hold. But just so you know. Okay, coming to your question right away, envisioning sustainable future is a really important capability when it comes to sustainability. And I think probably most of you have heard of that definition that most people agree on, which on sustainable development, which comes from the UN Brundtland report of 1987. And there it actually says that sustainability, and I'm quoting here, meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. So future really is crucial when we talk about sustainability. And you might say, well, that's easy. We think about the future all the time, right? We think perhaps of, you know, what are we going to cook tonight, or what will we do at the weekend, or what are our travel plans? So all of this is, of course, somehow about the future. And it's very legitimate, of course, and it's a way for us to envisage what might happen to us sooner or later. But when it comes to thinking further ahead, so beyond our own lifetime, we are really not that well equipped usually. So we might perhaps reflect still on the future of our children's lives and even perhaps on their children's lives. But if we go beyond that, it becomes, we struggle to think beyond that kind of time span. So envisioning this area of envisioning sustainable futures is really more. So it's more than the kind of daydreaming that we sometimes engage in. It's really about developing scenarios that are credible, that are realistic, and that are also responsible in a lot of ways and that are long term. And what I also want to stress is the plural that is being used here, so futures. And I have to admit myself, when I first, you know, got more familiar with this concept, or when I heard about futures instead of future, I was a little bit perturbed, because I studied literature and linguistics, so I'm kind of a grammar fan. Something was not correct there. But and also there's only one future, right? But it's precisely this kind of monodimensional thinking that we often have that we need to overcome. And that's why we use the plural, because it's about imagining future states of being together. And so that we have a better and a more sustainable alternative for this planet than what we have now. And if we don't, if we cannot imagine such alternatives and we don't change certain things, how we go about our lives now, how we go about our economies, if we do business as usual, then this is not going to happen and this is not going to be sustainable. But this kind of envisioning futures is not something that comes naturally to people. I mean, I already said we are good about thinking about our own lifespan, perhaps about that of our futures, of our children, but not about the future beyond that. So this is really something that requires a lot of creativity. It requires a kind of forward thinking and a kind of out of the box thinking. And this is something also we usually don't learn at school. I mean, I don't know about your schools. If I remember my school, it was more sort of, you know, the learning is usually more backward looking rather than forward looking. And I think we also have a bit of a generational problem here, because adults are usually more backward looking. And there's also, I mean, it's not only my opinion, there's research in psychology that actually supports this. And of course, this is natural as well. If you are an adult, you have arrived somewhere, you want to keep things as they are, even, and that's amazing, if things are bad. So people are usually afraid of change, even if it would be change for the better. And schools and education are usually kind of, you know, backward looking. We learn about past events, we learn about established facts, but there is little discussion on how this can be used for the future or even for different future scenarios. And this is something that young people are usually left to figure out themselves. And that's a bit of a shame, because actually young people, and again, I'm you know, referring to research that is being done in psychology, they are much more, they have a mindset that's already much more looking into the future. So actually you have this, you have these young people at school that are already in a way preset to think about the future. And then you confront them with a school system that is usually much more looking into the past. So that's definitely, I think, something that we need to work on in education. And, but of course this requires training for the teacher. It also perhaps requires that they need to overcome sort of personal inhibitions, and also it requires input from different sources and from different people. But it's definitely something that we need to arrive at if we want more sustainability, and that's why this is a whole competence area in GreenComp.
Thank you, Rike. It was really, really interesting. To be honest, one of the first times I also read the report, the futures, the S that was there, it felt a little bit weird, but because me too, I'm a linguistic too, so it felt a little bit weird. But now that you explained it, why and what it actually, the S stands for, it's very, like, much more clear, it's clearer to me now.
We already have follow-up questions and comments from community members in the chat. In particular, a community member is saying that the involvement of young children in the design of green curricula and a competence, skills and competences is very key. And he is asking, how do you specifically foresee this involvement? Schools are reluctant to create space for this conversation, which is so crucial to my view. He's also asking, what elements do you think are important to consider in this process of and concerning Indigenous people? In his opinion, Indigenous peoples are the most capable to think in terms of hundreds of years in the future, of course. And he is sharing his experience meeting a Sami woman from Norway, who share her perspective when working and thinking in 100 and 200 years ahead, considering, of course, while working, the impact of actions taken today and the status quo concerning climate change now for the years ahead.
Thank you. Very big questions there, or rather, actually, I think the first question, you answered it yourself, because you said, you know, you have to keep up the conversation with children, or you have to talk to the children rather than about them or coming from the top. So I couldn't agree more. I mean, children usually have quite a good idea of what they want their future to look like. And to be able to have these conversations already, even with small children. So sustainability education can start no problem already before general school education, so in kindergarten. And it's important to start it there for them to have also possibilities to engage with nature, to also explore it as something that they don't only know about and learn about, but also something they can feel, they can touch. This is important. And unfortunately, as you progress in your school career, the opportunities become fewer and fewer for children and then later youth to do that. So this is something I think that we need to look at when we speak about curriculum, when we speak about schools as organizations. So how can schools actually provide this kind of space and this kind of time for these conversations that you are mentioning and for this kind of engagement with nature? And I think that's a difficult conversation, especially when we come to the curriculum, because what we see when we speak about curriculum reforms, it's usually about adding something to the curriculum. And we might, of course, we might say, okay, let's add sustainability here, or let's add futures thinking here. Great. But what usually doesn't happen is that something goes out of the curriculum. And unfortunately, we cannot add time. I mean, time is, you know, there are only 24 hours in the day, and there are only, I don't know, 6 or 8 hours in the school day. So there you can usually not change anything, and that's good, of course. But these difficult conversation, I think we need to have about what is important, what is important to be learned, what is important to be taught. And maybe now this is different from what it was 20 years ago. And the second question about indigenous people, again, I couldn't agree more. And again, I think here where we are, where we live in Europe, or in, let's call it, Western civilization, we usually have a very sort of short-term thinking in contrast to what you are mentioning about this thinking across several generations, which is much more a feature of indigenous people, because usually they are much closer to nature, to earth. They are much more used to live with nature, and not just to exploit nature as we are used to do that. So I think there is a lot we can learn, and a lot we should take on these perspectives of indigenous people. Again, I think so far we are not very good at that. So what I see is a lot of agreement there in theory, but not so much in practice.
Thank you so much, Ulrike, for your insights. And thank you all for listening to this episode on the series on learning together. Watch the other episodes and check the digital version on Education for Climate, and specifically in the GreenCon community, for further insights. So thank you all again, and bye-bye.